Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Burned from the chafing from the run, so I wasn't going to make that mistake again.
Oh shit,
we're on.
Oh, we're on.
Christ. Thanks.
As usual, I gave you no warning.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry,
slightly chafed Worshipful Brother Joe,
Worshipful Brother Ken.
And we're up here, episode 197, learning to subdue the passions. We're actually, me and Joe, we're talking prior to Ken coming up here, but then when we fill them in later, we're going to start doing this as a series of episodes, and it's going to be learning to subdue your passions, and it's going to be basically, we're going to pick a different way you can subdue your passions as a Mason.
Practical stuff.
Either I need glasses or you're out of focus. I'm sure we're out of focus. Oh, you know why? Joe, flip the switch.
No, the light is off. That's why.
The lighting's off. Ah, there we go.
But it's almost a variation of that piece that we did that was ever so popular that somebody ripped it off called What Grinds My Gears. But it's the things that grind your gears, but you learn to subdue like the anger or the emotion that comes with it. So it's a slight variation on that, but practical, useful tools to just not let something get to you. And there's several things that will get to you. So today we're choosing words.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't have any more. Apple reviews.
No new reviews.
We have a new Patreon. We will toast him later. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go through our likes. Everybody on Facebook. Again, Joe is still. He's boycotting, so we'll continue with
Instagram,
that.
Though.
But Mr. Ken.
Sure, yeah. So Emmanuel Pizzoa, Joel Patullo, Joshua Box, Society with Secrets.
Oh.
Thanks for the follow. Jason Sullivan, Cesar Ortega, and Spiro the Service Dog.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, it's Rocco's dogs following us.
Nice.
You got a doggy follower.
Aw.
Thanks, Spiro.
Thanks, Spiro.
We love you.
Let's go over here to YouTube. This is difficult because I have to go through all of the notifications, and I have 1,000 notifications. We already did Danny Cordero. Looking.
While you're pulling that up, we've had a lot of activity on the Freemason Podcast community page lately, and I'm just going to let you know if you are Illuminati, first of all, when you answer the question, yes, are you Illuminati, it significantly decreases your chances of getting in.
Yes.
But then I will also pull up your profile and see...
Illuminati,
you're posting and whatnot. And it's funny because there had to be at least three this week where they posted like pictures of an old man in an apron.
Yep.
Like probably in his 60s, white male suit, apron. But then you go into their actual profile. And it's like they're Nigerian princes and it's
Nigerian
like,
football it's star. Like,
come on, guys. You gotta try harder than that.
New subscriber, Mananan 17. Let's keep going. J.R. Kroom. Kroom. J.R. Kroom. Welcome, J.R. If I missed you, yell at me in the comments because I suck. Sometimes I forget things and I miss things. So that's what I got on that. And then we have our new. So let's toast them first.
All right.
Want to lead it? I'll lead it. The hell with
you
it. I missed the last one. Brethren, right hand arms.
To arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brothers.
Viva, viva, viva.
Beautiful. Nice. New Patreon. And he actually just landed on his feet in the mason jar of Discord.
Mm-hmm. Is he still there?
About an hour ago. And
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he landed about an hour ago, so he's undergoing his initiatic rites.
Yeah. Good.
Good luck to you, though, Jacob Smart. Pleasure to have you. Welcome to the Discord family, and this toast is for you.
And we hope you last.
And we hope you last.
Have a little bit of this, I think.
Go on, it makes you frisky.
What are you drinking, seltzer there?
Yep. Got to stay hydrated.
Yeah. So what happened to you today, Joe?
I ran 17 miles.
Yeah, okay.
Burned his nipples off.
At about mile 14, I hit a little bit of a wall, but tough through it for three more miles. But then it was like once I stopped, everything freaking hurt.
So you walked, you ran 17 miles.
Yes.
And you're in pain because of that.
Yes.
I threw out my back doing absolutely nothing yesterday. So
sucks getting old.
My hands hurt because I was helping drop trees today.
Yeah, I mean, you were actually doing something. So,
yeah,
you know,
I was helping
justified pain.
I was helping my children's stepfather take trees down. So I was pulling on the rope trying to drop the trees, and trees are heavy. I don't know if anybody realized this.
Trees and trees, yeah, trees are heavy.
They're always heavier than they look. Like you go to grab a branch, and you're like, oh wow, okay.
And by the way, and ropes hurt. I'm glad I joined the Marine Corps and not the Navy because ropes hurt. So my hands are like,
are they burned like my nipples?
No, you burn yours with Icy Hot. I burn these with rope.
No,
burns.
I didn't burn it with Icy Hot. It's the chafing from the shirt sliding up and down for 3.5 hours.
Fix them with Icy.
Just go shirtless then.
No, nobody wants to see that.
Who wants to lead this one?
When things constantly are rubbing for 3.5 hours, like...
Yeah, it gets a little gross.
Yeah.
Should have made it an hour time.
I'm going to have to get those like little round band-aids that you had as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Pasties.
Oh,
like get pasties. Some pasties.
The pasties?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
All right, who wants to lead it? Jake Smart.
I'll lead it.
Fire away.
Brothers, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim. Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brothers.
Viva, viva, viva.
Beautiful. So now that we've talked about all of our pains and ailments, let's get into subduing your passions. So, chose words, because I think words are a big one, especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One of the things that I've always said is in order to be offended, you have to take offense, which means you have to physically take offense to words. They call you the ginger, I'm the midget, Ken's the robot, you know, those are pretty benign, but I mean any word, realistically, you have to take offense to the word in order for it to actually do you harm.
Yeah, you're an active participant in it. Yeah,
you're an active participant in it. So if
it's almost like you have to give your permission to be offended. Mm-hmm. Like otherwise, it has no power. You're actually giving it power by getting offended by it.
So we're going to take this from two angles. The first angle we're going to be is in the realm of somebody saying a word.
That's me.
A word to you, and you getting pissed off by it or being upset by it.
Right.
So, how do I put this? Let's start it off here. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not shitting on anybody. I'm not calling out any names. Just saying that, you know, we have used choice language up here on this thing. And we'll take it all the way back. A Grand Lodge former officer took offense to the fact that we were dropping...
Oh, that guy.
That guy. Took offense to the fact that we were using foul language. I mean, and
he didn't like it.
He thought it was
un-Masonic.
Un-Masonic. So I just want to break this down real quick, and this is just from my perspective. It doesn't mean it's right. None of this means that I'm right, but it just these are things that the way I look at it. Foul language does not bother me at all, and I'll tell you why.
Because you're a Marine.
That's one reason.
Fair point. No, but it doesn't bother me at all because I do understand that... It's a word. It's all it is. It's a word. It's a sound that vibrates in your vocal cords and comes out of your mouth. Mm. Like, that's all, if you really think talking or sound, you know, language is. It's just sounds. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't have a meaning in it. Like, let's use the F word. It is like, and I'm not glorifying the word, but it's a universal word. It's used for everything.
It could be a noun, well, an adjective, yeah, a verb.
But what does it actually mean? Can anybody tell me that what the F word actually means?
For unlawful carnal knowledge. It's an acronym.
Was it always, though?
I think that was the original.
Now, see if you've ever seen on Netflix, good show, The History of Swear Words.
Yes, I was going to bring that up with Nick Cage, which actually, he's awful. But.
Yes, but one of the, so there are some people that believe that it stands for fornication under consent of the king.
Okay, that's another possibility.
Because you had to request the king's permission to have children back in the day, and that's where the word comes from. It's actually an acronym, right? Acronym? Abbreviation. Yes. So,
but then there's that whole thing during one of the many wars they had there, where bow and arrow was the common weapon then, mm-hmm. and when they caught one of the rebels, in essence, back then, God, I'm losing the guy's name, but it doesn't matter. So what they would do when they'd catch these guys is they would chop off their middle finger.
Their trigger finger.
Their trigger finger. Yeah. And that's where...
The middle finger,
as an act of defiance, they would wave the middle finger, and it would be like... in essence, they were in a saying something like, I'm going to pluck you with the thing, and then it evolved into the F word.
Mm-hmm. Right. It just so for me, like, it doesn't bother me because it's just a word. I mean, even if my kid slips with it, I actually laugh. I think it's funny. I don't know. Mm-hmm. To me, it's funny when a little kid drops an F bomb or something.
Especially
like that.
little kids.
But understand that they don't even understand what the meaning of the word is. Like, it's just sound and vibration.
The only time it gets to me is if somebody is one clearly swearing just because they think it's cool, and it's like every other word, okay, guy, I get it. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Like people that overuse the word bro, like every other word, bro, yo, bro, let's go do this.
Yeah,
do this,
yep,
bro. Like, it's the same type of thing, dude. I get it.
Right.
Pick another word. Get a thesaurus.
Yes.
Yes.
But in regards to subduing your passions in words being used or flung at you, in a negatory fashion, like I'm gonna f you blah blah blah, or even any word, it doesn't matter, pick the word, pick it. Imagine your worst swear, that somebody's using it at you. Those words are being used to get a reaction out of you. If you don't give a reaction and you don't let
them, then they just fall deaf.
They fall deaf.
There's no power.
And you know what's funny about doing that? They actually get madder. Yeah. Because you're clearly proving you have the moral high ground of not allowing their words to get to you, you know, and sometimes I also believe that words are just used in conversation. They're just, I mean, I hate to use the term locker room talk, but I mean, I'm sorry. I understand that. Oh, you know, what this particular person had said from the Grand Line is that, oh, that's not how Masons talk. Have you ever stayed after a lodge and went downstairs and had a couple drinks or something?
Yep. Yeah.
Or went outside when they were all on a cigarette break? Have you ever heard the way Masons talk?
And we have
single other male group that gets together and has conversations.
Well, and it was also like, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but lot of our brothers are current or ex first responders. A lot of them are current or ex-military. It's almost a cultural thing there. Mm-hmm. And you know, some would argue, well, that's not how I talk in public, and it's only behind closed doors. Kind of like, oh, well, you guys shouldn't be drinking on the show. But okay, I just saw you at a table lodge last week, and you had at least 9 shots.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So it's like, come on, let's be real here.
I mean, to me, if anything, it's hypocritical. You know, just using our Masonic platform up here, we got Wyoming Whiskey Makes Joe Frisky, you know, but we every once in a while, we occasionally drop a swear. Like, go to a table lodge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really kind of what this show is. Like, it's just a bunch of Masons getting together,
right,
essentially after Lodge. Like, that was kind of the original purpose behind it, right? To show people
that's
that
how it actually
normal.
Started. After
and
Lodge
I'll be, yeah, that's exactly how it started. And I'll be completely honest. Like, one of the things that again, I don't want to shit on the slogan, but Masons seem to have this thing is that we're better than you. Not just a man, a Mason, right? As a slogan. Right. But understand, we don't put ourselves on pedestals that we are better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have a better understanding of things.
And we try to hold
ourselves to a higher standard. Right. But we're not saying that we're better than Joe Public down at, you know, the bar or something like that.
Right.
If anything, what we try to do, especially on this podcast, is we try to show that we're just everyday guys.
Mm-hmm.
We just have this craft and this brotherhood between each other that it's friendship on steroids is mm-hmm. the best way I can explain it. So when a Mason swears, oh my God, he swore, big deal. Is it really, like, it's a word. It's literally a sound. Yes. So,
Daniel Valdez put in the comments a quote that I was actually trying to remember before. This is, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Nope.
Eleanor Roosevelt. And it's so true.
Yeah.
And nobody can offend you without your consent.
Yeah. So if somebody's hurling, like, profanities or swears or calling you names or I mean, again, choose the name. I'm not going to fill in the blank. I'm going to let you choose the name that most would offend you. Mm-hmm. But understand, there's two things. You have to take offense. That's why it's called I take offense to that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to actually take it. You know,
I've been besmirched.
Yes.
Mentally, emotionally, whatever. You have to take that word and let it bother you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's and everybody has certain triggers, certain personal, like I'll share, and the Discord guys are going to go all over this. I can see a whole string of things. There's three things that really bother me. One is, like, if you say something like about my hair, I'm like, hey, your hair look a little sloppy today. Did you brush your hair today? It just really bothers me. I don't know why.
Seriously?
Yeah. Because you spend a lot of time.
I do spend a lot of time on my hair.
That's why.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you make a comment like,
I feel like I've done that multiple times, and I am sorry.
Your hair looks a little off today. I'm like, I won't necessarily outwardly show that I'm upset, but I'll obsess over it. Like, next chance I get to run to the bathroom, I'm checking it.
No, maybe, I want to apologize for that.
Maybe we should change the Wi-Fi access key.
when people say to me, your hair looks a little off today, I'm like, yeah, usually on the sides and around the back. And you know.
No, for me, it's like, it's one of my obsessions.
I did not know that.
That, and if you were to say, you put on a little bit of weight.
Oh,
even if I know I stepped on the scale and I'm down like 15 pounds, you're like, put on a little weight. I'm going to obsess over that and probably, like, not eat my next five meals.
Mm.
And then the third thing, lastly, and this one is, I don't know, I think it's left over from my younger, more angry days.
You have syphilis.
If somebody calls me a POS, like, we're fighting.
Really?
Like, if you say that in a rage of anger and you call me that word, like, we're out, there's a good chance if somebody's not there to stop me that something
really
happen,
it's like that's some Marty really? McFly stuff.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know. I've been good, wow. But like it's just that thing.
See, let me break those little ones down.
Yeah,
right there, if you don't mind,
because they're real examples. Yeah.
And I'm more asking a question: is it said in good faith? Like, in other words, if I was like,
I'm a POS.
No, not that part. Oh, let's talk about like the hair, and let's talk about the weight thing.
Yeah,
like, what if I was to be like, you all right, Joe? You look like you put on a little weight. Like, general concern. Is that bother you? Or is it more of the snarky, smart ass? Yeah.
No, it's when you're, like, genuine and sincere about it that it hurts the most.
Yeah.
Okay. But you understand that, like, so if it was said to you in anger, what's up, fatty, or something like that, you'd be like,
yeah, whatever.
Up here. Right? Because you're not taking offense to that.
Right.
So that's more of, like, the gear I was trying to get at that, you know. It's, and by the way, you're not overweight. You're fine. I mean, I could do the truffle shuffle.
No, but it's like one of those.
That'll end up being a Discord meme, I promise.
Yeah. Because it's also one of those things where it's one of those things. Sometimes you know it, but don't want to admit it.
Right.
And then when somebody else points it out, you're like, shit, they're right. And it's like,
that's more of a. Yeah, but I guess.
But the POS thing that fires me up.
That's interesting.
Okay. Interesting. What about you, Kenny? You got anything that pisses you off? I mean, I know you don't have your emotion chip.
I took that out for the weekend. It was raining a lot. I didn't want to get it wet. No, I mean, there really isn't that much that gets me really fired up. I'm trying to think. Traffic situations, for sure. If somebody cuts me off, I get pretty, like, more pissed off than I should be. I usually do a pretty good job of, like, suppressing that.
Right.
Usually, unless I'm in the car by myself, and then all bets are off. That's, I mean, there really isn't much. There's no word.
Like road rage, like downshifting, getting up on his ass, maxing out the RPM limiter.
Yeah. I don't do that. I get pissed off when other people do it to me. But, I mean, as far as words, I don't think there's any words that would trigger me. At least not in my older age, when I was a kid, for sure. But nowadays, no, there isn't much you can say that's going to...
Interesting.
Piss me off. Yeah.
I did have that one incident at Dunkin' Donuts a couple months ago when that woman scolded me for wearing a mask.
Right, yeah.
And then I said some unfriendly things.
Right.
And then her husband came over, and then I said some even more unfriendly things to him.
We try
to be clear.
We
that,
try to be better than everyone else.
You know, I want to be clear, though. As us as Masons, there are things that
everybody has a bad day.
Everybody's got a
man.
Trigger. Everybody's got a bad day. Everybody's got, like...
Like today, Ken and I are probably good examples. Our tolerance levels are probably pretty low because we're tired.
We're in some
kind of pain, and it's like, all right, if you're going to screw with me today, I'm just going to end this fast because I don't have time.
And I think a lot of it also has to do is like where you are, you know, in your head.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of it does, but I guess, are there words that trigger me and piss me off and get me in a mood where I'm like, all right, this is happening. Sure. But the one thing I'll never do is let anybody see that.
Right.
Because I believe in...
Because now they got you.
Well, not only they got... Yeah, because and that's what they wanted, realistically. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to put you in that headspace where you're pissed off. And I just refuse to give anybody the satisfaction of knowing that they got me.
Then why are you always so pissed off?
See, yeah. That's a myth that you guys...
Because he doesn't mind showing us.
I don't think it's a myth.
How do I put this?
Remember how when I said that it hurts the most when somebody says it and they're sincere?
See, so let me try to break this down a little bit.
Use your words.
I am. When you question my authenticity and or you say it to everyone else rather than just pulling me aside and saying it to me on the side.
Yeah.
That will set me in flip mode.
Yep.
That's the one thing that will set me off because I, you know, in regards to that whole situation, again, we don't have to revisit it. It was put statewide.
It was blasted in a newspaper. Yeah.
And Mason's
response. Whereas a simple phone call
in
a conversation and understanding would have changed that.
Which came later from different people.
Yeah.
And different people, but never the source.
No.
Which made it all the worse. Because now... You're too much of a candy ass to actually come and say it to me. That now puts me in an even worse mood where I have no respect for you. And that's where these things spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. But if you were to come to me, you know, face to face and say, hey, you did this. It bothered me.
That's why
I don't like it. We can have a conversation about it and be decent.
That's why we're taught to whisper good counsel as Masons.
Correct.
Because it's a gentlemanly thing to do. If you have a problem with somebody, you go and you talk to them.
But I got to give a shout-out.
Joseph Van Howe, when someone throws their hands up at me.
And they're playing your song.
What do you mean? Like, describe that. What do you mean, throws their hands up?
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about,
like they don't care?
Throw up, let's throw them bones? Or are we talking about throw hands up like, oh, whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, clarify.
Yeah, you got to clarify, though. Just give us a little better example.
But I got to give a shout-out to Worshipful Brother Scott Shalinsky. He was a master 2 years after... 3 years after I was in the East. Great guy, great brother. He was the one that he knew the hair thing.
And oh, like, so he would like kneel.
And I'd be in the East doing a degree or something, and he'd be like, hey, I was like, how was it? Was the ritual good? Yeah, it was great. But just so you know, when you took your hat off and you were doing the obligation, your hair was so messed up. And I'm like, son
of no way to avoid that early.
Luckily, there's no cameras allowed in Lodge, so.
Yeah. But he's nobody like, yeah, he was distracting. I was staring at your hair the whole time because it was so messed up. I'm like, you son of a. And sometimes he would just say, hey, how's it going? Hey, dude, your hair's messed up. Really? No, no, I'm just messing
with you. Yeah, that candidate could
be. Yeah, but see, and that's all in good fun, though. And yeah. I think realistically.
But he knew everything. He got me every time. Because it's like if you've seen, what, Saturday Night Fever. You know, I work really hard on my hair. And what do? You hit it. You hit my hair.
Yep.
I think I think that's actually good ridiculing, though, when somebody's constantly busting your balls, like your hair. Like, busting your hair. Yeah,
but if you knew what it did to me. You
no, no, no. But I'm saying I also think in a certain in a certain way, it also desensitizes you.
No, yeah, if you're joking, I'm very
no?
sensitive.
Yeah. All right.
Not with that one, it didn't.
Like...
like when people call me ginger or whatever, when it's joking in some way, but there's something about the hair that I just, it's one of those OCD things for me.
Right.
It's right. Really one of those OCD, I can't turn it off.
So this will also go back, we'll go back to this one and let's reverse it for a minute. We'll talk now about the opposite end of it, throwing negative words at people.
Okay.
I am one of those people, and I'm more, it's more for comedic purposes and... I do things in order to. I'm a jokester, right? I'm a jokester. I'm, yeah. What would you say? I'm kind you're of a sarcastic jokester. I like screwing around.
You're that guy.
And yeah. One of the things that I do when I'm joking around, and I know that it's bothered you, is I'm like a hammerhead shark to blood, man. There was a guy Tyler I used to work with at Firestone, and we were just religiously. Fuck with this kid. And yeah, I'm dropping an F-bomb on it.
Oh, my God.
So he would be downstairs, like, when we were putting the tires away, and rather than put the tires on the escalator belt, we would just fire him full speed down the thing. And right, and literally, as he's rounding the turn, it would just right in the chest and just put him against the wall. We got a good laugh out of it. We stripped his car and put it, like, up on cinder blocks on the parking lot, took the hood off, driver's seat. I mean, we put it all back together for him. You know,
I used to do stuff like
that. You know what I mean? Like pranks and stuff. Like so.
I used to put black shoe polish on the earpiece of somebody's phone. They'd pick it up. They'd have no idea. They're walking around with a big black
shoe. He was in the crapper one day. We had to
got to check the headphones.
No, well, he'd be in the crapper one day. He'd be in there reading the newspaper. I'd go underneath the door with a can of brake clean and a lighter and just set the whole newspaper up
when
on
they
him.
Did that to you here, you stuff.
But like, you'd be like, hey, guys, come on, guys. Knock it off, guys.
I once
When did he do that?
Weren't you in the bathroom right after they redid the floor and somebody lit something and put it under the door and they messed up the floor?
Yeah, they messed up the floor, though. I wasn't concerned about my own safety.
You didn't mess up the floor when you burned the paper?
No, because we were in an automotive shop, so it was concrete floor, so. And I didn't own the place.
Yeah, full of volatile chemicals, too.
I once did.
Ran the garden hose over the top while he was in there taking a crap, turned the water hose on. He's couldn't get up off the pot in order to reach the thing. It was just spraying him.
I used to work with this really proper Englishman at one of the more popular rental car companies in the country, probably almost 30 years ago. And we decided to screw with him one day. And we knew that after he ate lunch every day, he would go in the bathroom and take care of whatever he needed to take care of. Mm. Well, this rental car company, part of our thing is we'd go out and drop off like donuts to body shops and insurance agents to try to get their business and whatnot.
Okay.
So me and this other guy came up with the scheme. So we waited for him to go get lunch. We then went in the bathroom and we took some chocolate crullers and chocolate milk and filled them, put them in the toilet because we knew the reaction we'd get out of the guy. Guy walks in there and starts puking. Like, oh,
wow, that's
I still remember. I won't mention their names, but I remember the guy that we did it to, and I remember my my partner in crime. But it was funny. And he's trying to yell at me and like be pissed at me, but like puke is spewing through his fingers.
That's messed up.
So I bring up the joke
that was before you were a Mason too.
Oh God, so yeah, this is like 30 years. I was still. I don't even know if I was of drinking age then.
See, now here I just want to bring up. Yes, all this is all funny pranks and everything. I wanted to bring this up because is malicious as I was with my pranks on this poor kid Tyler. Shout out to Tyler. I haven't seen him in years, but he was a good dude. Like he was a good kid, but he was all in good spirit. He used to laugh, and you know he got pissed off from time to time. But I mean, you know. That's all good and fun, and you know that type of hazing. It was just, it's in, for all intents and purposes, it was hazing. We were hazing him. Right. But, you know, he ended up learning a lot from me and Mark, the other mechanic. And he eventually moved on to become an ASC certified master tech. You know, but there's a difference between good fun, pranking, right, horseplay with
malicious,
knowing maliciously what you're doing.
Yeah. Like if you're, you know, maliciously trying to break somebody or bury somebody or,
right,
or you know, there's even times
bullying,
where
man.
You're mm. you're putting their ability to make a living at risk,
yeah,
and things like that. There's just no place for that.
I just, like, a perfect example would be freaking road rage. You know,
yeah.
I somebody cuts me off in traffic, I don't care. And I want to be clear about a couple things. I actually let it go. It's a rarity. You have to catch me in a freaking mood.
You're better than me, then.
When I flip out. Like, they cut me off, and it's just kind of like, meh, congratulations. You got one, literally, maybe an 8-foot car length, and you're still next to me in traffic.
But are you that type of person where if somebody tries to pass you on the right because it's open that you and you're in the left lane, you might speed up a little bit to box them in?
No.
Oh, I do.
No,
that.
No, no.
Yeah, I love doing
here's
that.
Why. And I'll tell you
I
why.
I try not to do those things anymore.
And here's why. Let me explain why. Okay. One. Whoa. Oh, Joe leaned his head back and he pulled the headphones.
Oh,
it's all good. We're good. We're good. Here's why. Number one, what's the point?
It's not going to get you anywhere.
It's not going to get me anywhere. All it's going to do is piss me off.
Possibly cause an accident.
Possibly cause an accident. Yeah. And now I'm going to be pissed off for the rest of my car ride because a dude or a female literally cut in front of me 8 feet of property that I'm going to be rolling over in less than a mile. Like in less than, you know, a couple of seconds. So
yeah,
what's
not, it's not worth the
secondly,
energy.
Secondly, and... Yeah, it's no surprise. I carry a gun. I have a gun. One of the things that guns taught me was that life's too short.
Yeah.
And realistically, what would happen about getting... What could potentially happen with getting into an argument with somebody in traffic over literally a car length...
Mm-hmm.
Could escalate into a... I mean, you hear it on the news all the time.
Yeah.
Road race injuries, people getting shot. So for me, personally, it's not worth it.
Yeah. No, if you carry a firearm, you have an obligation to not be an angry person.
And it's taught me to be very humble. I mean, even in person-to-person, hell with the cars. Even, like, arguing over a shopping cart or arguing about, you know, who cut who in line when you're standing at Walmart. I'm just like... Go.
Right.
Yeah.
What broke me of a lot of the road rage stuff was, you know, I've worked for an insurance company for 25 years. Prior to that, I worked for a rental car company for 6 years. So every car or every job that I've had since college, it's involved me being in a car and doing things where if you did anything like that, you'd immediately lose your job.
Yeah.
Especially when most insurance companies have the name of their company right on the side of the vehicle, and it's got a number on it, so they can call in and file a complaint. I'm sure on the truck you drive, it says, "How's my driving? Call this number." Or
No. It just says
at the very least,
it
has the name
and the number.
Right.
Yeah, that's enough. Though.
So, but you're driving around a billboard, you tend to watch your actions a bit more, and if that's why the traffic and stuff like that, it just doesn't.
Not for nothing. Here, let's go with the work thing though. Let's talk about this. I drive in a flatbed big truck. There are not too many people who try to... You're not going to push me out of the way to cut me off. Understand that. Mm-hmm. The losing end of that one is going to be you. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen too often. Does it happen with me? Sure. But here's my whole take on this whole thing. Even like when people are like, oh, the dude... I think it's actually Daniel Valdez said that, can't say for those around me and those driving on the shoulder. Yeah, people will do that shit and fly up on the shoulder at 1,000 miles an hour to try to get to the next exit or cut up into traffic further up. And this is the way I've kind of wired my brain. And the way I've wired my brain is I'm not pissed off that this dude's caught in the line. Mm-hmm. I sit there and I say to myself... God, I hope he doesn't flip over and kill anybody.
Well, yeah, he's creating a hazard. Yep. It's creating the hazard.
I hope he doesn't kill anybody.
Yep.
Like with the motorcycles that will cut in and out of traffic during a traffic jam. It's like, somebody's going to just, like, move over a little bit, and you're going to be toast, dude. I mean, yep. It's job security for me, but if you're, like, you're creating an unnecessary hazard, and it's just not.
I really think it's more
of an annoyance.
I really think Marshall Brother Joseph Schultz just put shit out there just to try to see, watch me crack.
Oh, yeah, he's doing it for a reaction.
He writes, road rage is the worst than ever. Every morning I have to race down the highway and cut people off.
So, Joe, you said if you're driving a, how did you word it? If you're driving a billboard, then you should be a little bit more cognizant of your actions. We kind of all are, though. You got a square encompasses on your car. You got a square encompasses on my car. People see that.
Absolutely.
So if you're cutting people off or you're doing, you know, getting pissed off when somebody else does it to you and then, you know, riding their ass or something like that, other people see that.
So here's another thing to think about, and this has made me feel like a piece of shit multiple times. When somebody does something, like let's say you're coming to an intersection, right, and it's my turn to go, and you start to go, and the other person pulls out and then slams on their brakes real quick because they literally almost T-boned you. And then you go around, and you, of course, your first reaction is, what the fuck is the matter with you, right? Yeah. And I come around, and the person's going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And now I feel like a shitbag because now I've lost my cookies on her or him or whoever. I feel like shit because the person genuinely made a mistake.
Yeah, most people don't mean to do those kinds of things. Right. Like, they just didn't see you or something. So,
So it's just like be careful about what you say and how you say it because, you know, understand that, like, yes, are there ignorant people out there that just do whatever the hell they want? Sure.
Like people that
those are usually the people that end up. What, sorry, Joe?
Like people that don't know how to navigate a yield sign.
Understand that. But, okay. Let's talk about that, though. I mean, how many people out there actually don't know how to navigate a yield sign?
A lot of them.
A lot of them. Yeah. But I don't think that's from being...
Getting on the entrance to any parkway exit.
Yeah, they just legitimately never learned.
Never learned it.
Right.
Right.
You know, you don't encounter it as often.
I mean, I didn't know in New York City you cannot make right-hand turns.
No, no
until I did it and got smacked at work for a freaking $300 ticket. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's signs posted everywhere. Oh, yeah? Show me one.
No rights on red. Yeah,
I'm
no,
from Connecticut.
Isn't.
I don't know.
There really isn't that much signage for that. It's just kind of like known that if you're driving in New York City, you can't go right on red.
I didn't know in New Jersey you can't make left-hand turns either.
Jug handles. At all. You got to go through the jug handles.
Yep.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I got popped in Allendale, New York, or New Jersey for a ticket.
Thanks for the tip.
You know what I mean? On certain roads.
On certain roads, yeah.
I think on, like, state highway deal. Huh.
So, I mean, part of it is just not knowing. And, you know, also, some of it's mistake. You know? And, again, I'm just using the example of, like, I've had it happen before where I've gotten mad because somebody I thought was going to blow the light. They locked up the brakes, clearly trying not to hit me. Mm-hmm. As I come around, I'm staring at him, and I'm, you know, obviously mouthing off and using my words to let him know how pissed off I am. And you know what she did? Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And now I feel like an asshole.
Yeah, and you should.
Right. So
that's when you wave back and you're like, all right.
This is where, you know, brings us right back to the freaking forefront of the topic of this conversation, subdue your passions. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, you might end up being the asshole.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
This is true.
Just don't. God, I wish I knew what the quote was. I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was Dan Bongino who said he gives everything the 72-hour rule. He waits 72 hours before responding to something. And it gives him a chance to, because nothing should ever be said in anger.
Right.
I think it was 24 hours or 72 hours where he waits before he'll respond to anything.
To let the emotions go away.
To let all the, you know, to start. Because, I mean, when you're pissed off, you're not thinking rationally.
Right.
You know,
I mean, that will work for, like, emails and stuff like that. But if my wife comes up to me and asks me a question and I just walk away for 72 hours and then come back.
Give her a timeout.
Like, it's not. Put her in timeout. It's really not going to be good for the relationship.
Am, go sit over there for 72 hours and don't come out.
I will get back to you in exactly 3 days.
You know.
Even an hour would be tough to.
Yeah. I mean, he must have a lot of...
1 hour timeout.
I wouldn't be able to keep track of all of it.
He was talking about in regards, because again, he's in the political frame.
Like if somebody puts something in the media about him or makes a comment about him. Okay.
He waits. He waits to see what happens. Even even stories that, you know, I think he even said he applies it to stories that you read in the news.
Yep.
Because within 72 hours, that story will be changed.
Well, and that's one thing I've I've tried to teach a lot of people, my daughter being one of them, is, all right, when you see something, one, where did it come from?
Yep.
And do they have any skin in the game?
Yeah.
So, like, and she was looking for an example, and I said something to her about, okay, well, if somebody is putting out a report that, mm-hmm. you know, beef is bad for you, are they in the chicken industry? Like, are they trying to
follow the money?
Yeah, follow the money. See yep. who's saying it. Do they have an interest? You know, pharmaceutical companies. Oh, you need a pill for this. You need a pill for that. Do you really, though? So right. you gotta consider the source, and sometimes that takes time.
Well, I also think that I've applied that 72-hour rule to myself in talking about our situation that we were talking about with the newspaper article.
Mm-hmm.
I waited, and I didn't say anything, and I kept my clothes. And you told me,
well, yeah,
actually,
you
talked me off the ledge.
Yeah, because we were up at the Grand Lodge that morning. Like,
morning?
I think the newspaper came out the day before, and I saw you at Grand Lodge the next morning because it was we were marching in that thing.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember it. Oh,
I believe you.
You were over in the corner of the parking lot smoking by yourself.
And then Champ the Clown comes by, and he's like, woo! I'm like, now.
Not now, Champ. Yeah, exactly. Not now. Now's a really bad time, Champ.
Walk away, Champ.
You will get stone cold stunned right now. No, but.
RKO out of nowhere. Actually, no, but I was like, hey, you all right, man?
Yes,
like,
you are.
No,
right. That was great.
I'm like,
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But realistically, I waited.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was I think I let it lie. I think I just was like, you know what? I'm going to let it go.
Yeah.
But then emails.
For the most part.
And then emails started passing by. And then it was email after email. And then finally, that's when I decided to respond.
We may have made some veiled references.
No. I responded in email.
No, I know that. Yeah.
So, but.
But we also made some veiled references.
Yeah.
We're good at that.
We are.
Joe Schultz. Worship Brother Joe Schultz. I'm too old to wait 72 hours. I can kick the bucket in.
I mean, if they had only heard the Santa Claus episode. Oof.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking about that
Jesus.
Today.
They haven't even heard the worst of it.
Ligarius
Thomas, 72 hours, and I might forget what it is that made me angry.
And that might
that's
be
part of the
part
point.
Of the point.
That's part
yeah.
of the point. Yep. Or at that's least give you, a perspective on it.
Yeah.
Because, again, striking back right away is usually not a very good idea.
No.
Because I don't know about you guys, but when I get angry, I get distorted. I can't think straight. You could ask me something stupid, and I can't give you a straight answer because I'm so mad about that original situation. I might not be showing it, but I'm so mad.
No, like you're shorting out and you can't, like.
Yeah, yeah. I literally go into, like, in a sense, a meltdown.
You're like
mode.
Johnny Five. You short circuit.
Yeah, yeah. I really do because I cannot think rationally. So this is why I typically don't respond. And there's been times where I've let weeks, months go by.
Mm-hmm.
Months and months go by before even responding or.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a while for the emotion to go out of something.
Yeah, and you have to let it go. Like, with you, you get angry, and that switch flips for you. With me, I get really annoyed from the standpoint of, I don't have time for this. So if you come at me at, like, a level 4 out of 10, I'm going to 11 just to be done with it.
Right.
So, but, you know, I could say some really horrible and hurtful things, but it's like, yeah, I don't have time to play with this. Boom, blow you out of the water, and it's probably a too harsh of a response for. I'll tell you one of them off the air.
It's
funny.
For one, for me, like I know how I am. I have a long fuse with a fast burn. That's the best way I can explain. I could take a lot of shit. I can take a lot of shit. I can take a lot of criticism. I can take a lot of stuff. It takes a lot to really get me to flip. But when it does happen, it's bad and fast. And, you know, hold on. Unloading Clips. I like that name.
Of course you do.
That's sick. I'm not so much angry, I find, brethren. It's annoyance and being overwhelmed, and then I get tired, and it's a ton I use.
The tone
I use, excuse me. Sarcasm, so hard. I really need to embrace the compass more.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of you to be angry, like physically. Yep.
I get tired.
Drain you.
Yeah. I get tired. Like I'm just
stress hormones.
And then after I get angry, I do this whole limp mode. I guess you could say, call it a depression or whatever. But it's like I'm so burned out that I literally just want to put my headphones on and just zone out.
Yep.
I want to watch TV. Don't talk to me. Or
emo. You're one of those emo.
Oh, but like I'll sit
listening to The Cure in your basement.
Nihilist.
The Cure.
None of this matters.
No, but it's like, and that's one of the things. I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before. When I was in my late teens and probably up through about my mid 20s. I was an angry person. Again, this is all pre-Freemasonry.
Yep.
I was an angry person, and it probably even peaked when I was doing some MMA training. I'll name drop up at Ken Shamrock's gym. And then it was bad because not only was I angry, but then I knew I had the means
to hurt somebody.
Yeah. And that was like a really dark period in my life because I would walk around just looking for an excuse to unload on somebody.
Yeah.
And that's never a good place to be.
Nope.
But then
somebody else is always going to be better or have a weapon.
Exactly.
That's just like,
exactly. But then I found, prior to finding Masonry, I found running, which I'm currently spending a lot of time doing. And it's like you just said, it's really hard to be pissed off when you're exhausted.
Yeah.
So you exhaust yourself. You find that release. You find that outlet, and then you get all that frustration out, and you just don't have time to be angry. You don't have the energy to be angry, and it's kind of like you tend to let more things slide because you're like, I have a limited amount of energy right now, and I'm not spending it on that. Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It puts you in a better place.
On Loden, he wrote, he's like, yes, brother, zoning with the intention of trying to find the center. Yeah, I literally go into full-on shutdown mode. I don't want people around me. Don't talk to me. I don't care.
Yep.
Like, there's been times where I've had even Mason meetings, or and I'm just talking just in general sense of things that have upset me. There have been times where things have upset me, and I'm I'm not going. I'm good. I don't want to go to the meeting tonight. It was actually a situation that was... got into an argument with a brother, I think. And I was just like, I'm good.
Yeah, you don't want to be angry in a Masonic lodge.
No. And realistically, I would be a detriment to my lodge if I went there pissed off because the first thing I'm going to want to do is get up and open my mouth. And when I open my pie hole, when I open my pie hole, it's usually not pretty. As a matter of fact, like, speaking of that Grand Lodge session, I was sitting there, and the grandmaster's like, "Would any Mason on the floor like to speak?" And I went like this, and George is like, "Shh, shh, shh." No, it didn't happen. Sit down, little guy. Sit down, little guy.
Is that the same meeting that you guys voted me in? I got like 7 votes for trustee, grand trustee.
Yep.
It was.
Everybody in Harmony Lodge voted for Joe.
Morningstar as well.
That's great.
That was pretty funny. But anyway. Let's round this out with, I think this all boils down to the two rules yet again.
Yeah. It always comes back to those two rules. Don't be an asshole and mind your business. Mm-hmm. I pulled that. Somebody jumped into one of my conversations on Discord the other day. I think it was Keith Noonan. I was having a conversation with Danny or somebody else.
Right.
And Noonan just decided to jump in and make some comment that literally had nothing. He clearly didn't scroll back enough to see the full context of the conversation. And then my response to him was just the picture of the two
meme.
Commanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
Asshole. Mind your business. Oh, I think it was in the fantasy football chat.
Yeah, it was. It was the fantasy football chat.
Yep.
Which,
talk about a lot of swear words being thrown around. And that's
Fantasy football. The fantasy football chat room in our Discord is there's a lot of contention.
Yes, it's very alive.
But even though the contention, I'm still the defending champion.
Yeah, and a team that you didn't draft, so it doesn't count.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't count.
Did somebody else draft that team, too? It was somebody dropped out,
Somebody else drafted the team, and then he inherited it.
And it was like the best team because they had first-round pick or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't make the lotto ticket, but if you scratch the thing and make $5 million, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like, but if you stole somebody else's lotto ticket and cashed it in, it's like,
But I didn't steal it. The other person never claimed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. It's hard to screw that up too. Once you have like a first.
So let me ask you a question: if you found a lottery ticket on the ground,
you know how they say you're not a true champion until you defend it once. So
that's true. That's
okay.
True.
We'll see if you defend it. That's all.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this season.
If you defend it.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm basically eventually going to probably end up going up against two teams in one. If anybody can look through that reference, we'll talk about it off.
Two teams.
But I know I'm going to get an FU from two people in Discord for that one.
Jim and Danny?
Yeah. Oh, I remember all that.
Oh, that whole thing. It took me a while to get it.
I haven't been paying attention to Discord, but I hope our new brother... I don't know if he's a brother. He's still a petitioner.
Survived his initiation.
I hope he's surviving the onslaught in there. But, hey, for $5, for as little as $5 a month.
$5 a month, you too can join Patreon by looking us up on Patreon at the Freemasons Podcast. You too can get access to Patreon-exclusive content, our Discord channels, which actually, for like we were talking about, includes yet again a fantasy football league where all the proceeds go to the winner's charity.
Tis the season.
And the ever elusive Freemasons Podcast Gold Tone Pin.
And you will get that as soon as Rafferty decides to come out from his Biden vacation because he hasn't talked to me.
Where is he?
I don't know.
I sent him an email the other day.
Like I think we should do like a Carmen Sandiego bit with Rafferty. Where in the world is Jim Rafferty? Yeah.
Just start sending us photos or something, Rafferty.
I'm just going to drive over to his house and lay on my horn. Yeah. I know where he lives. I've been to his house.
Yeah. Missed that guy. He hasn't been up here in a while.
No, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Right now, we are dim, correct?
Yes.
And
he's taking a break.
There is not a secretary on the planet that doesn't go on a... who doesn't take
your story.
Advantage of that Masonic vacation.
I can understand that.
It's a tough job, man. Mm-hmm. It's a tough job.
Anyway.
All right.
I don't think we got anything else.
I think we're good. So subdue your passions. Remember, other people are watching you, and if you're going to wear a ring or wear a lapel pin or have an emblem on your car.
Watch your language.
Watch your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a Mason.
It's good advice for everybody.
Good advice for everybody.
Two commandments are universal.
They are universal.
Yep.
They don't care about their race, religion, or creed.
Yep. And sometimes you can live longer if you just... Don't be
not
such
an
angry person.
Actually, it's true. They say that people who are angrier tend to have more strokes and heart attacks.
Stress hormones do impact your body. So,
And they also say that
George that people stroking that, out in the corner.
They
over
also
there.
Say that people that swear a lot, it's a sign of intelligence. So maybe you're smarter than we think.
Yeah,
true. That is true. I don't know if I'm smarter.
I was trying to be nice.
I appreciate that, though.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Your hair looks great today.
Why? Thank you.
Anyway, let's shut it off.
Yep, the cannon fell over. It's time to
for the Freemasons podcast. I am Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night.
Later.
Good night, friends.
That was hilarious.